This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 5th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is Service FAC Assessment. This tape is 91 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. Well, you're very lucky today. Very lucky today. I'm not mad at anybody. What is this date? 5 Sept 8013. And we have a lecture here on Scientology 3, which wraps up the field of psychotherapy. I don't wish to overemphasize these banal sweeping statements, and I don't even think you heard it. In fact, I know you didn't. I'll say again. I have a lecture here which wraps up the field of psychotherapy. Thank you, thank you. All right. Now, we have been walking around the edges of the field of psychotherapy, by which we determine its relationship to the neurotic and the insane, and so on, for a very long time. We've been giving the boys who we thought were holding down this field the courtesy of more or less staying out of it, and so forth. But there's some interesting things which you should know before I go into the technical material involved here. This is sequitur to the two lectures which you have heard this week, but there's some things which you should know at this stage. The word psychiatry has no proprietorship, has no legal definition, is supposed to be the treatment of the neurotic or the insane, and isn't owned by anybody, isn't patented, means nothing in law, and so forth, but does mean something to the public. I consider that's interesting. We were having some press trouble here a few weeks ago, and I wrote at that time some articles on this particular subject, which clarified I had to study two particular spheres, that of newspaper, and had to study the field of psychotherapy to some degree. And although I was talking a great deal about psychiatry, I finally differentiated exactly what I was talking about. I was talking about the untrained mental doctor in the field of psychiatry. He has no business there. Of course, you always look for an aberrated situation. You'll find that there's a lie connected with it. Things which people can't solve have a lie connected with them, and that thing we call a service facsimile. And this happens to be the third dynamic, service facsimile. The medical doctor, who is not trained for and has no business in the field of mental healing, is attempting to take dominance over this particular field. See, he's not a trained mental practitioner. In fact, somebody just gave me a clipping down in Australia, some London bigwig comments on the amount of training given the medical doctor. And I think it was 10 half-hour lectures, most of which were unattended by the students. A real roast. No, this man is not trained in the field of the mind. He's trained in brains and surgery. So therefore, he applies brain, gray matter, and surgery, and force, and electric shock, naturally applies these things because he doesn't understand the mind at all. He has no proprietorship over the mind. As a matter of fact, he's not trained in the mind at all. He's trained in the brain. He knows it occupies the skull and that you can shove ice picks in it, and this he considers mental healing. Ah, but he is told a big lie. He's told a whopping lie. And he's put it across on legislatures and that sort of thing, that the medical doctor is qualified to operate in the field of mental healing. And, of course, he's not trained in the field of mental healing. And all you'd have to do is bring pressure to bear on legislatures that people who are not trained exclusively in the field of the mind may not practice in the field of the mind, and you have secured the entire field of the mind. I think any legislature would pass this. People who are not trained in the field of the mind must not practice in the field of the mind. Banal. It's on that stable datum that most legislatures pass laws. Misrepresentation. Got to be trained in the field of the mind, you see? That's the isness of the situation. And the big lie is that people who aren't trained in the field of the mind at all are practicing in the field of the mind and calling themselves psychiatrists, which they are not. They're medical doctors. The only person you have to deny the field of the mind to is the medical doctor, and he has no business there. As far as the field of the human mind is concerned, George the other day did a survey out of all existing society records and so forth and found out there were 272 mental practitioners in England outside of Scientologists. 272. And there were some 8 nurses who were also qualified to give diathermy to the disturbed. 272. Well, we outnumber them, man. Over and over and over. I mean, just active Scientologists outnumber them in England. They're nothing to outnumber. There are 70 in South Africa. In all of South Africa, there are 70. In other words, there is no field of the mind. There's apparently a great deal of advertising. There's the medical doctor, who is numerically very short in supply. And there's lots of articles in the newspaper saying the field of the mind, the field of the mind, there's legislatures, there's appropriations. Everything is all laid out just as though there is a field of mental healing. I wish to point out to you, my fair friend, that it's a totally unoccupied field. There isn't anybody in it. They rattle around like an atom in a cubic light year of space. See, they aren't. You don't have an opponent. And one of our lies, then, is that there is some opposition. And we have done the trick of putting an item where it isn't. See? We've said there's opposition there. Therefore, we've mocked up our own opposition. And you know how serious it is with a PC when you put an extra item into a GPM. Okay? Well, we've done that. Now, somebody gratuitously, someplace or another, I don't know on what budget, is advertising the existence of mental healing. I don't know, but they're spending fantastic quantities of money on it. There's nobody to receive the results of it except us. This becomes a ludicrous situation. Therefore, people qualified at level 3 will very soon have available to them a certificate as a psychiatric consultant. That's perfectly all right with me if you call yourself a psychiatrist. Marvelous. People must be looking all over the society for these psychiatrists, you see. That's 272. Isn't this a fantastic situation? When you look at it right in the teeth, you see that it is a fantastic situation. Now, when you recognize that human illness will surrender to R1C, and certainly to R2C, you know, that's just what solutions have you had to your lumbosis, bud? You're going to get 60-70% return. It'd be 30%, 40%, something like that. It won't recover. That's because they require further care. But just your ordinary healing, you know what you can do with an assist, you know what you can do in this various levels. The medical doctor isn't even then safe in his own field of healing. He isn't safe there. Because I think that an HCA and HPA very shortly will be graduated in the field of healing. He'll know the three corners of the ARC triangle and the eight dynamics, and he'll know some of the basics of Scientology, and he will know how to keep in an Ipsiline and keep it directed to the person's illness or something like that. And just about that level we have an HCA, HPA. And then your level three is somebody who can list and do a prep check. So we've opened the gates here by taking out and training and specializing in. Now, when you think of your level of training, well, this is something else, isn't it? So that requires a much broader recognition. And there's a lot of HCAs and HPAs right now who won't be just eligible through the training they are getting right this minute. They won't just be eligible for an HCA or an HPA. They'll be eligible for an HSS, don't you think? All they've got to do is round off their qualifications for HCA, HPA with their Ipsiline, don't you see? And that gives them that, but they've already gone on to prep checking and meters and all kinds of wild things of this particular character and so on, so they've practically completed their HSS. Now, how about you? How about you sitting here, you see? What do we do with you? Well, I don't know. We've already got you a certificate, haven't we? And we can also make this other certificate available to you, psychiatric consultant. So if you want this certificate, listen to this lecture. Because I'm not going to have it said about us that we give 10 one-half-hour lectures, which nobody attended. We'll go on one better. You're here. Listen. Now, you've already had two lectures on this subject. The difference is we expect now that you produce some results with this. Now, you've been getting your fingers. This is the lecture I'm giving you now. Those are mainly announcements. Giddy world we live in. The orientation of Scientology, reorientation of Scientology, looks very innocent. It looks like nothing much happened. I put out these five levels of Scientology, you know, and it brought order, 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 order. Everything has been snapping into place beautifully. Well, you're the winner because you've gone all the way on up through the lot, don't you see? And the future face of Scientology will look a bit different. But level three is expected to be able to clear. And it also, incidentally and accidentally, takes in the whole field of neurosis and psychosis and gives you a greater purchase on this particular zone and area than any mental practitioner in existence on the face of this planet, or any other one for that matter. You'd be far more qualified to treat the insane if you can do this particular trick, because this is the only thing that makes them insane. This is the basis of insanity, the basis of neurosis, and the bringing about of a state of clear are all the same breed of cat, except they're just different degrees. It's what is it wrong with the mind, but it's in different degree. The degree is whether a person can live with it or not. And if he can't really live with it, but just worries about it all the time, and really can't live it at all, and so forth, well, we say he's neurotic. And if he can't even manage himself and his environment, we say he's insane. But what's wrong with him? He's got the final solution. He's got a final solution. And that solution is not necessarily the solution of being insane. It is some solution which is all-pervading and makes it unnecessary to itza anything. After that, he never has to look. So, of course, what happens to him? He just disappears in a mound of un-as-is mass. He never has to look. All he needs is the solution. Now, in processing, a certain amount of introversion takes place. A certain amount of introversion takes place by reason of processing. But that introversion is only undertaken to bring about extroversion. The actual progress of a case depends upon the raising of the A, R, and C of that case step by step forward. The only way that introversion does not lead, introversion and erasure of something, does not then lead to a greater ability to reach in the environment or greater ARC. The only reason that does not occur is when over-restimulation is brought about. In other words, you restimulate 20 units and pick up 10 of charge, you see? Well, now, although you have advanced the case by means of erasure, you've actually increased the introversion of the case by running at a too high a level of restimulation. That factor still exists in class 4. You've restimulated too much. But it is full track, whole track, that is most likely to get a PC into this condition. You're not likely to get this PC into this condition in the very circumscribed area of one lifetime. You have to let his attention wander all over the whole track and onto the back track and let him itza this GPM and that GPM and another GPM and this chain and that chain and not flatten these things and so forth at level 4 in order to get this individual more introverted by reason of processing than extroverted. But of course, you're winning all the time even though you're winning with an introverted PC. In other words, he's looking in all the time. He's looking in. He's not reaching more. He will eventually come out of the woods at the far end of this thing and have a tremendous reach. But during the period of his going, he is over-restimulated and therefore introverted. That's the ills of over-restimulation. They are not very great. You're not likely to spin anybody. That's at level 4. What about over-restimulation at level 3? Well, at level 3, you take somebody who is very, very batty. You could probably over-restimulate him in this lifetime. Let's take somebody who is in catatonic schizophrenia. Let's use a fancy term. Doesn't mean anything. Catatonia means they're lying still in apathy, unmovingly, and not reaching anything. Schizophrenia means scissors. I don't know how you can lie still in a scissors, but they've managed it. Just shows you what happens when strange people who don't know anything about the mind try to invade the field and advertise that they can do something in it. They get things corned up this way. Let's put it more factually. This character's in total apathy. Total unmoving apathy. It's lying there in the asylum. If you put your finger on the exact button this person could talk about and would talk about, the person would communicate with you. But if you put your finger on a half a dozen other things and plunge them into even this lifetime engram or something like that, the person would spin more, don't you see? So the worse off a case is, even in one lifetime, and this is true for all cases, even on the whole track, the worse off a case is, the more careful you have to be about over-restimulation. If you restimulate something, pick up the charge you have restimulated. That is the byword on this. Now, you won't see very great upsets by this, but once in a while, somebody will who is pretty bad off, somebody who's pretty neurotic or something like that, if you're treating this person, if you're processing this person, and you all of a sudden just ask them accidentally for any pain or anything that was connected with that incident. And of course, they've been running it on a conceptual basis and weren't close to anything like that. And they suddenly go into more pain and they practically spin in front of your eyes. You got the idea. So the worse off a case is, the less reach they have, the less ARC they have with their environment. These are the things which measures worse off, see? The less reach, the less ARC. The easier it is to over-restimulate the case. It becomes very easy to over-restimulate the case because you're using very powerful tools, actually, and they go into the mind like they're going through hot butter. And it's very easy to do this. So remember this. This data monitors all clearing efforts. And that's level three. You see, you're not going on the whole track to clear anybody. That is the next thing you must realize, that if you're going to stay off the whole track. If you're going to clear somebody, you're going to stay in this lifetime, and that's the only place you're going to stay. If you're practicing level three, you have not left this lifetime. If you're practicing level two, you have not left this lifetime. You're level one, you have not left this lifetime. You got it? The only place you leave this lifetime is level four. And the only reason you take somebody down the line on level four, if their tone arm is sitting more or less in a very active condition, and it never goes low, and it never sticks high, and then you're going to run somebody down the track, because then it's very difficult to overstimulate them. You can overstimulate them at level four. You can just perforce overstimulate them in spite of good tone arm action and so forth. You can do it. But this is level four. This is level four when you take them on the whole track. So class one, class two, class three, whole track, niet, niet, niet. See, strictly Russian participation in world affairs. No. Guy says, you know, I think I've lived before. Oh, good. Thank you very much. I'm glad of that. Now, in your immediate environment here, have you noticed? You understand? Why? Because if this person is having trouble, now we get to the next factor of re-stimulation. See, this is all a piece with what you've been hearing about re-stimulation and everything else. It all integrates together very nicely. You've got another factor you're working uphill with any PC on this planet particularly, and that environmental re-stimulation. And it is environmental re-stimulation that is the straw that breaks the PC's back. If you can audit the whole track on a PC who also has environmental re-stimulation, you are doing something heroic. It can be done. It makes hard auditing, and you are doing it right this moment in Z unit. So don't think it can't be done. But you know right there that it's a source of considerable amount of upset and worry. Guy has PTPs, he has this, he has that, and so forth. What are all these things? What's all this constant level of re-stimulation in this environment? You take in an HGC where people are walking in off the street. These people have PTPs, they're just nothing but a walking PTP. Well, all right, that means their environment is keeping them tremendously re-stimulated day after day, night after night. Their environment is re-stimulating them. That's environmental re-stimulation. That's the wife's natter and the kid's demand for another shilling. That's the income tax folder that is lying in the mailbox. That's the news that just comes out on TV that all males are now going to be conscripted below the age of and above the age of, or maybe, see. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. Environmental re-stimulation. When this source of re-stimulation is at a high level, the PC is unauditable. And the difficulty that the auditor has in carrying forward a case to a good win is basically, when dealing with the public at large and that sort of thing, is basically auditor versus environmental re-stimulation, not auditor versus bank at all. Now, this is so great that an individual who has tremendous present time problems in his environment does not make progress on his auditing. He will not change his graph. Now, we know that. That's a stable data man that's in with spikes and rocks and welded. They know that in HGCs before they operate very long. They learn that one. PC has a continuous PTP throughout the intensity. There will be no graph change of any kind whatsoever. If he has a PTP throughout the intensive and ARC breaks during the intensive, the graph will worsen. How to make a high graph? Well, you've got to audit the PC in such a way as to get around the environmental re-stimulation. Therefore, the practice of an HGC operating mainly with raw public or partially interested Scientologists or just newcomers, something like that, or even old-timers very often, is a battle with the environmental re-stimulation, the surroundings in which this person lives. It's not a battle with the reactive mind at all. Now, when this environmental re-stimulation rises, or when the PC is more susceptible to it, he gets into states which are called neurotic and psychotic. There are no psychotics on the whole track. No whole track psychotics. Psychosis is a temporary condition which normally exists in one lifetime. Interesting look, isn't it? Very temporary condition, because it's environmental re-stimulation monitored by the susceptibility of the individual to that environmental re-stimulation, and that's all there is to it. It's his ability to withstand the re-stimulation of the environment versus the environmental re-stimulation. Now, of course, a person's ability to withstand the environmental re-stimulation is one erg of thrust back, you see, and the environmental re-stimulation is three ergs. Right away, you're going to get a condition. Of course, I'm giving you an erg or a dyne or something like that, you see, is some fantastically, I think a dyne is the amount of force exerted by one gram going one centimeter. What is this thing? It's something on the order of a lead dropping from the end of the pencil to the table, don't you see, over a distance of about half an inch. And it's just nothing. Well, this guy's a very weak little fellow, and he lives on a little farm, and it's a long way from every place, and it's awful quiet. But his environmental thrust back is capable of only one erg, see? And by God, one day the pigs get loose. And by God, he spins. You see, this is proportional. This helps you understand what happens to cases. And this other guy has three megatrons of resistance, and he's got 40 foot-pounds of thrust in his environment, see? Doesn't even dent him, see? Run the whole track like crazy, see? The environmental re-stimulation is fantastic. It would have killed 40 people, see? Just doesn't happen to bother him. He can handle that much, don't you see? So it's the environmental re-stimulation on the one hand, and the ability of the individual to front up to it on the other hand, which gives you your difficulties of cases. It's those two factors in combination. See, the two factors in combination. It isn't just the environmental re-stimulation. Well, you see, there's 15 office workers, and all of a sudden a concrete mixer sets up across the street, and they start putting up a new building, and one of them goes batty, and the 14 do all right. What's this? It's the same stimuli. See, same amount of environmental re-stimulation. But one of those girls had very low resistance. That is, low thrust back. Well, therefore, if you simply studied the environmental re-stimulation and sought to reduce environmental re-stimulation by social or public measures, making it a very quiet life, you would make a lot of people go sane. This is perfectly true, but a lot more would go mad with boredom. See, so the do-gooder, with his idea of peace, is trying to get himself an environment that he can live in, that he won't spin in, see, don't you see? And these characters that go out beating the drum along this line as an exclusive thing, you see, they work the hardest at it because they're the most worried about it. But they create, in the final analysis, a very dull world. And therefore, they get protested against. For instance, people have hobbies. Some people have some hobbies. Some people have other hobbies. Some people have the hobbies of knitting. Some people have hobbies of sitting still and daydreaming. Some people have the hobbies of riding motorcycles, and some people have the hobbies of shooting down airplanes. See, there are various hobbies. This is how much randomity an individual thinks is necessary to the environment. And you're coming back now to an old principle of acceptable randomity. Well, acceptable randomity is this ratio which I just talked to you about. People for a long time couldn't understand this factor. Well, here's the understanding of it. It's the amount of re-stimulation of the environment measured against the amount of re-stimulation which the individual can withstand. And these two factors together give you a constant. Now, it's very hard to work out this constant because we have no actual figures. But express it in terms of life. This individual is able to stand one dinner party. See? And he gets two funerals and a suicide. You see how you can work this out? And here's this fellow who can withstand two massacres, you see, and a wreck. And he gets, as his environmental re-stimulation, one dinner party. See, so you get these differences amongst people. And it makes them all look different, but actually it's on the same basis. And it's on this basis re-stimulation. Now, you're busy auditing. You're auditing this guy that can stand the randomity of one dinner party. And you audit him into an engram where he had a wreck. Now his environment consists of what? The ability to withstand a dinner party, but the re-stimulation of the environment is what you're running him on, which is one wreck. He's promptly swamped. He can't run that kind of an incident. He just goes in over his head, don't you see? Well, one of the ways PCs solve this is by not going in. And it is probably the favorite method of resolution. They audit only what they consider safe. This is almost line one of book three of Dynamics of Modern Science of Mental Health. See, the mind monitoring, you know, it won't go in over its head. We got techniques now which can push a guy in over his head. But that's beside the point. The point is that the mind tends to shut off any re-stimulation that will overwhelm it. It just tends to. It's like this guy can stand one dinner party and you say, how would you like to have two funerals and a wreck? No. Okay. Actually, this gets so bad that if two funerals and a wreck occur in his environment, he can actually just be completely, they didn't exist. They aren't real to him. He locks them up out there as not having happened. And so does he lock up his bank as not having happened. In other words, his ability to resist re-stimulation is too low for him to face up to track. And there's your problem as an auditor. How are you going to get rid of any track with this boy, huh? How are you going to get rid of any track at all? How are you going to get anything done on this case at all? Because that case is liable to sit there not even coming close to its track or ambitiously going in over its head all the time. So cases actually divide into three categories. Those who are audited easily. Those who won't even approach the bank. And those who are always trying to commit suicide in one. We'll call these cases 3, 2, and 1, with the one, the case who can be audited, you see, and the other two, you see, as cases that always are going it too strong, man. In eating, you'd say their eyes were bigger than their stomachs and all this kind of thing. Then the other fellow who just won't, too, you know, just a guy that just doesn't even come near the bank.
It doesn't have anything to do with it. What bank, you know? What bank?
Engrams all over the place, you see. Just got through going through a windshield, see?
What engram? No.
He's cutting his throat with it all the time. Doesn't exist, see? You say, well, let's run out this accident you just had, see? What accident?
Where?
No accident. I just learned to take things calmly in life, you see. And he's sick and sick and sick, man. He just learned to take things calmly in life. See? He's got something going there. See? Well, how do we convert case two and case three into a case one? How do we convert these two cases, one which audits at a suicidal level and the one which audits on a no-approach basis at all, and you can't get anything done, and that no-approach basis is your most flagrant example of the stuck tone arm, the low tone arm, the dead thetan. There's misbehaviors of the tone arm. Okay. Don't come near the bank. Hasn't got anything to do with it. Now, how do you convert that case into one that is auditable with good tone arm motion? Well, now I have I've given you a lot of technical data here. I don't really expect you to do too much with it or think about it too much. I'm sure you understand it. But I'm giving you the actual technical background to the highly elementary material which I'm now going to give you. This material is very elementary. All cases tend toward the safe solution. All cases tend toward the safe solution. You're making a note on it, write it down and underscore it. That's very, very important. That is an element of simplicity, the like of which you never saw. Some cases also adopt a vengeful solution, getting even with them by dying. Now, when I say all cases adopt a safe solution, oddly enough, the dangerous solution comes under the heading of a safe solution. This gets wacky, but the safe thing to do is to jump off London Bridge. Because it all comes under the heading of a safe solution, don't you see? But it actually sounds highly dangerous. And they very often go in over their heads. That characterizes then your cases that you're having any trouble with or having any trouble in processing. One has simply adopted a good, safe solution, and the other one has adopted a dangerous solution because it is safe. I know it doesn't make sense. That's what's the trouble with it. Now, if you move these cases over into the auditable line, you will move them over on the channel of safe solution. All cases move over on the channel of safe solution. Safe solution. Very, very important. Safe solution can be stated as safe decision, safe assumption, safe treatment, safe environment, safe position. You have a world here which is security oriented. It is, for instance, trying to keep up the ideals and ideals of human rights. But we notice that human rights and human liberty are succumbing. Why? Because 20 bystanders stand around and watch the cops mess up a citizen's human rights because they're all operating on a safe solution. So all human rights disappear down the channel of the safe solution. That is the hole in the bottom of the bathtub. It's the most dangerous thing in the world to have a safe solution. Because that is the hole out of which sanity drains. A safe solution inhibits observation, and anything which inhibits observation destroys. Whether a person is merely difficult to get over toward his bank, or is going in headlong, or in a much worse state, these are specialized states and are not gradients of the other state, is very neurotic, or is completely psychotic. They are not cousins to these other states. It's just to the degree that they have adopted a safe solution. That's all that establishes it. That's the common denominator. Now, you could make a lot of hay out of that, that statement, just as a philosophic truth. And it is a philosophic truth. And that is the plow that plows the furrow straight down through the middle of the problem of the human mind as it has been approached and as it has been attempted toward solution by mental healing, granting this thing called mental healing. That just plows it right up, man. That's the end of that. This datum underlies mental healing with the same sweepingness as survival's common denominator. Existence, you see. There's actually another method of saying survival in aberrated form. People make survival solutions, which then become so safe that they become contra-survival. So you have entered a brand new datum here. You've got a brand new datum, which is as compelling and as sweeping and so forth in the field of mental healing as survival is in life. People solve things in the direction of survival even when it means they have to succumb. When it gets into mental healing, you are actually investigating the difficulties people are having surviving. But the basic method of survival is the safe solution. And that makes the individual right and makes others wrong, and therefore intends to enhance the person's survival by bringing about a position of dominance. Permits him to escape domination and permits him to dominate others, and then at the higher level permits him to survive and causes others to succumb, he thinks. With great amazement, you'll find committing suicide as a survival computation as it becomes more and more aberrated. How to survive? Not to survive, of course. Everybody's solving that. The miser, how does he survive? How does he survive? Well, every once in a while in New York, they dig somebody out of an attic or something like that. He's been dead for 3 or 4 weeks, and the guy's got no stuffing in his mattress at all. There's nothing in there but $100 bills, you see? And his method of survival is to have lots of money. And that's a very safe solution. But he's neglected in his obsession with this safe solution to spend any of it in order to live. So as attention becomes more and more concentrated it becomes less and less sensible. For an individual to be totally wise, it is necessary for him to be able to observe his environment. He also must be able to permeate his environment. He has to be able to have reach. It isn't good enough to have a couple of maxims tucked behind your left medulla oblongata to which you can refer in times of stress. The Arabian ruler every now and then would be calling up poets to help him out in his efforts to rule a flea-bitten population whose favorite pastime was executing rulers. And they would come up with such things, such gems as, "That too shall come to pass away." Very wise. Very wise. And yet, if it were adapted totally, it'd kill somebody. People have philosophy all mixed up with these witticisms, these platitudes. They look through philosophy for safe solutions. And you can take a philosophic textbook that has been down in the local library and has been read by pencil margin scribblers. And all you're reading there are things which they widely agree with, but which they also consider safe solutions. Philosophy, then, is not a study of wisdom. Philosophy is simply a study of safe solutions. Makes it a very low-level activity, actually. For instance, Kant had himself a safe solution. I imagine it's what made him batty. He had a good, safe solution. A lot of things were unknowable. They were so unknowable that nobody would ever know about them. And this, of course, is completely nuts. If these unknowable things can never at any time be sensed, measured, or experienced, how the hell did he know they existed? Well, he didn't. So he made up a fantasy over there someplace called the unknowable. And this made him very comfortable. He could live in the knowable. And this is so general and so forth, you even find it in Dynex Modern Science Mental Health. It says you don't have to know everything in order to know this. Well, that's fine. And that disarms one's thrust into this, and the amount of overwhelm, it lets him compartment things and look at things in sections rather than just be overwhelmed by the whole, don't you see? Well, that's an entirely different operation than finding a safe solution, then drawing off into a corner someplace with a safe solution and never looking at anything again. That activity is what you'll find most people engaged in. Now, that safe solution is what we call a service facsimile. That's all it is. Now, you can be a very cunning auditor. You can be a very clever auditor. And sometimes, let me impart this to you on the side, you're going to have to be clever. You're going to have to turn up your genius to a cube level to find that safe solution in somebody. It'll be lying right in front of your face, and you'll feel like a fool when you finally pick it up. But there it was. But to find out exactly what it is, and to use that, and so forth, it's very easy to state, very easy to this. But remember, in the PC, it is extremely alterized, complicated and so forth, even though it's sitting right on top. It's not believable. That's one of the things. There could be thousands of them, don't you see? And it's picking out the one from those thousands. That's what's going to give you the most trouble. And sometimes you're just going to do this on sheer genius and find that you were dead right. And other times you're going to exert a great deal of time and trouble and sheer genius, and you're dead wrong. So the final test of it is did it resolve the case? Have I found thee service? Fact is answered by, when audited, did it resolve case? If answer is yes, I have found a service fact on case. If answer is no, it didn't resolve case, I have not found service fact. And in the first ones you find, the most you can hope for is that you have found something that moves the tone arm and has moved you closer to finding the service fact. See? So you're always willing to settle for that. Always willing to settle for something that moved the tone arm, because that, of course, will move you closer to finding the service facsimile. So you're always willing to settle for that. And sometimes after you found two or three of these, and each one you knew was the service fact, but somehow or other this PC didn't go free needle. Actually, they've been very droopy for the next couple of days. You know, it didn't resolve the case. We sure found the service fact on that PC, except it didn't resolve his case. Yeah, I could hear you now sitting around the table in the evening coffee shop saying, well, sure found Joe's service facsimile, you know. Sure found it. It was a very brilliant job. We managed to get these three coordinating lines, and they all crossed exactly in this place, and it was swallowing swords, and he's always thought of that, and so forth. And we got his service facsimile, and so forth, and so on. Joe comes up, and he's looking. Or now he's in total propitiation. Yes, they found my service fact. Yes, I feel terrible. I mean, I feel good. So you see, the test itself, the statement is very simple, and the test of whether or not you found the service fact is also very simple. It actually reads on the meter. If you have found a service fact on the case, the needle will be looser and the tone arm in a more reasonable condition. Okay. And if you finally walked it all the way through to the service fact on the case, it's like all of these extra service facts you've been pulling off it, or something like bands of trees and sod that lie up against the mountain peak, you see? You haven't got the mountain peak, but you sure got a lot of trees off of it. You know, you got some rocks off of it, and it's looking more like a peak anyway. It was just surrounded in clouds when you first located it, see? The test of it, in each case, is looser needle, better acting tone arm. See? So you're always willing to settle for that. Now, the other rule that you come up against here is that which doesn't run on the right wrong when found, you prep check. And that which won't run on a prep check, you run on the right wrong. So you got it coming and going. This is pretty loose. Well, let me say you look through the PC's folder and you found peanuts and you found brothers. And this was other, you know, this is old-time stuff that's been found on the PC, assessments of one kind or another. You found mechanics. And you found dog biscuits, and you found me. See, this is various things. You know, you dug these up out of his old 212 and his parts of existence, and he's this and he's that and that sort of thing. Well, actually, you could make progress with the case if you just applied this rule, is just prep check each one. Got it? You could assess the list and take the one with the biggest read and prep check that, and then assess the same list again, because it must have some residence in the case, you see. And whatever else you find, prep check that, don't you see? And just prep check anything you found. You just prep check it. And the second, that you're not getting tone arm action from the prep check, run. This is awful crude, what I'm giving you right now, you understand? But I'm just showing it. You can take this gun that's developing, that's R3SC, you can just take this gun and point it in almost any direction and birds fall out of the sky, see? It's marvelous hunting, I mean.
case going to make improvement no matter what you do? Well, that which you can't prep check with tone arm action, you could treat as a service facsimile, see? I mean, just one, two, see? So it either prep checks or it runs on right and wrong, see? How would it make you right and make others wrong? Well, a PC, it doesn't do much on a prep check and it doesn't do much on right, wrong. All right, all right. So there weren't any birds in that section of the sky the gun went off into. You haven't done anybody any harm. You hadn't done anybody any harm at all. And this is sort of creeping up on the mountain. You take a layer of clouds off of it and you cut a couple of trees on the slope and you bulldoze away an avalanche away from the side of the thing and so forth. It's looking bigger and starker and so on. More clouds coming off of the thing, you see, and it's getting clearer and clearer to view. Because you can't keep up this type of action without displaying, eventually, the service facsimile. Now, the funny part of it is, even the most obtuse auditor, if he kept up this type of action of assessing something or finding something that had been assessed and he prep-checking it, and if it didn't prep-check well, run right, wrong on it, see? You know, run the steps of R3SC on it, see? If you can't prep-check it, it's obviously turning on mass. So therefore, if it's turning on mass, obviously it has something to do with the service facsimile. So you run the right, wrong, you get that out of the road, and so forth. You just keep going at this sort of thing and keep a list of your debris of other things that have turned up, maybe, in the process of doing so. And your cleverness will pay off in length of time. The cleverer the auditor, the shorter time he can do it in. This is about the only thing you're narrowing down. But the very, very clever auditor can be too clever. I'm not warning you against being clever. Be a genius, man. Perfectly all right. But you actually can take this case. Now, that's why I started this lecture with the restimulation data. You can take this case, and there is an assessment I'm now going to give you, which is so powerful that this poor guy has the resistance of one dinner party, see? And you're going to present him with the guts of his whole case. You're probably going to spend the next few hours holding his hand. Because the walls keep going, bloom, bloom. Now, I told an old-time auditor who was a guest here today, Mike, told him a little while ago. I says, you see, we're auditing the stable datum out of the road of the confusion, so the confusion will flow off, and that's what the flow is on the E-meter. And he went, you see, because he's been taught differently. You've been taught that you don't pull the stable datum out from underneath the PC or you'll get the confusion, see? If you do too sudden a yank, you see? And he turned rather pale when I told him this. So you'll probably be rather pale occasionally. In other words, you can climb this hill too vertically. You can immediately grab the mountain and say it's gone. See? And the PC's saying, my God, what am I doing in all this mist? Where am I? What is this? See, where, what? Oh, something terrible is happening to me. And he feels mass is going this way and that way, and pains are turning on and off, and the end of the room, the boards all look like they're going like this. See, a great genius, you just... One mountain less. So you see, it isn't necessarily the wisest thing in the world not to sneak up on the case. But this isn't going to do him any harm, providing you run R3SC on it until it's flat. Now, you do this assessment and drop it in his lap. This is going to be the immediate result.
It's got to be audited now to make it all right. So you're going to see periods on PCs when they're not going to be happy about the whole thing. Now, I told you that any PC is liable to say somewhere in the running of service facsimile, one of the tests of a service facsimile is, does the PC say at any time, I'm not quite sure that it is wise to get rid of this. He's going to say that on a real honest-to-God service facsimile somewhere along the line. That's what he's going to say. Well, you find the service facsimile, he's going to say it all at once. He's going to try to put on the brakes all over the place. Of course, he isn't going to make it. Now, you're not going to do anything very desperate to this person as long as you finish him up. Oh, so he's going to have a few bad days. It's all right. It's all in the business. But you possibly, now let me give you this word of caution, will practice in a field of neurosis or psychosis at some time or another. See? You go into that field. You make awful confounded sure that you unburden the cliffs before you pull the mountain out by the roots. Because that person, by reason of being spinny, cannot withstand the environmental restimulation in the first place. So you've added the processing restimulation plus the environmental restimulation to somebody who cannot stand the environmental restimulation. So, of course, they can't take any. So the only course you can follow with that case, even though he is standing there, and this will be true, he will be standing there nakedly saying his service facsimile. It becomes very tempting. You'd look at some of these characters and they'll be just saying their service facsimile. You know, it requires very little genius to figure out exactly what the wording is to make that service facsimile there because you'd be saying so. Now, therefore, the environmental restimulation has got to be reduced to some degree on the case. You follow this. In other words, the reduction of environmental restimulation should always follow. And you should be able to make good that minimal environmental restimulation during processing will occur. Must always occur and continue to occur during a course of processing. You have any environmental restimulators present in the vicinity of a psychotic, and you're not even going to come near it, anything, no matter what you know. See, because you add the environmental restimulation of processing to, you see, the actual existing environmental restimulation, and it guy is already overwhelmed by the environment, so of course he just spins harder. So that's why you must approach this on a gradient. Now, with cases that are just walking about, I don't really give you any caution about it at all, because it doesn't matter to me whether or not these cases go to bed at night and have holes fall in the middle of the floor and various other odd phenomena occur, because they're going to get processed again, and the process will take care of the restimulation. It's a ghastly thing to confront. And the better the assessment, and the less the assessment has been approached on a gradient, see, in other words, the less slopes of the mountain you have processed before you process the service facsimile, why, the greater shock it is to the person. There's plenty of restimulation. You've just taken their whole difficulties of this lifetime and done an ectomy on it, just like that. Bang, out, gone, man. There it is, you see, and you leave them with nothing but the confusion. There sits the confusion. And it hasn't any E-meter to bleed through and no auditing commands to guide it off and so forth. So it just starts hitting the PC from all directions. Remember, this PC adopted this because he couldn't stand the confusion. So he adopted a safe solution. A safe solution is always adopted as a retreat from the environmental restimulation. Always, inevitably. Therefore, doing a service facsimile assessment doesn't necessarily require great accuracy at first. There have been things found on the case. There's things this guy is worried about on the case. Take some little stable data. R1C type of approach to the situation, that sort of thing. It's very good for the case. And this becomes healing, you see, at level two of Scientology. You've got healing now. You say, well, what have you done for your lumbosis? Anybody in your family have lumbosis? What did they do for it? Don't you see? What have you done about them? Any kind of a crisscross that might occur on a valence shift or something, you just get the person talking about it. But it's solutions. You're asking them for safe solutions, stable data. The more stable data they have put in, the more safe solutions they have put in place about their lumbosis, the less the lumbosis will discharge. So you keep plucking these things out, and eventually the lumbosis will. But of course, when the environmental restimulation is too great, no charge will flow off of the case, and you will have that percentage of case which, just by talking about a few things, won't give you a tone arm shift. And that's because this person is already pretty overwhelmed. The environment itself is the overwhelming factor. But let's get back to the other. How do you raise the ability of an individual to withstand environmental restimulation? If this is a big factor, as I gave you in the beginning of the lecture, if that's a big factor, how do you raise his ability to do it? Well, you do. You pull his service facsimile. His service facsimile is what, in actual fact, reduces, besides his innate capabilities, which might be different, it's what reduces his ability to see his environment. The more safe solutions he has adapted, the more environmental restimulation he isn't as-ising, the more he isn't confronting up to, the less he can confront up to. This becomes a dwindling spiral with great speed and rapidity. So therefore, the thing which reduces his ability to handle his environment, oddly enough, is the thing he has adapted to handle his environment for him. You remove that and you at once increase the individual's ability to handle the environment. Because he's now seeing it, he's inspecting it. Might not make him happy, but that's not what we're trying to make. We're not trying to make a happy person, we're trying to make an able person. There's many a lunatic who is quite happy. Now, if you bring about a condition, then, at level three, where an individual does not have environmental restimulation, he won't be interrupting his processing because of environmental restimulation, and you will be able to go at level four onto the backtrack because he's no longer fighting the environment. And that restimulation is not added to his case all the time. And it's that added restimulation which can be counted on to lock up his tone arm if he has any fragility of his tone arms. It's this little added restimulation of the environment. Environment is too restimulative, therefore he can't go on the backtrack. So it's very important that you get that out if you want a smooth, faster run to OT. And now I will let you in on why I have suddenly gone into this line. It's because I want a faster run to OT. I don't care anything very much about whether anybody gets clear or not. That's just between you and me. Make a hell of a lot better human being. It solves neurosis, solves psychosis, makes a guy able, is a fast thing to do. It is not a slow freight through Arkansas. You can make a clear by getting off enough service facsimiles. You can make a stable clear so you don't have to keep apologizing for the fact he's only a keyed out clear because he's going to stay that way longer. You see, and all this is better human beings, and so forth, and that's fine. And it's a well worthwhile state to achieve, and people will be happy with this state, and everything is fine. And just between you and I don't really care about the state at all. I want somebody to be able to hit the whole track. See? So it's been developed, and I put up the speed of development to cut down the length of time in processing at level four, which is already a sizable amount. So by reducing the environmental restimulation off of level four processing, by knocking out the service facsimile, which is what encourages the environmental restimulation, we then have enough attention free so that we can go whole track and erase things faster, and we're not always being held up by the guy has a low tone arm case, the guy has a high stuck tone arm. We started to do a GPM. We got a little bit mixed up. We went into the bear goals, and then we got into the helitrobus, then didn't realize that we were in the invisible picture goals all the time. Now, we don't want that PC's tone arm all locked up because of environmental restimulation, see? Session restimulation also drops because any difficulty your PC is having in session is actually environmental restimulation because the session is part of the environment also. So if he has session trouble and he has rough sessioning and that sort of thing is one of his difficulties, of course, if you delete that off, he can get a lot more done on the whole track anyway. So I'm just getting rid of sources of restimulation, don't you see? And reasons of restimulation in order to buck into the backtrack and really hit the things that have to be knocked out so we don't have to worry about these other things, you see. That's important. Now, what is this assessment beyond assessment? I see you've all got your paper ready. Put down this assessment. Two or three of you are going to be very surprised. You're going to pick up some folders tonight and find yourself looking at it and say, why haven't you done this? You know, I mean, that kind of an attitude. I'm good at that sort of thing. After I get something figured out, I have no patience with people who don't understand it. Yeah. Anyway, the assessment is a simple one. And we're back into our old, worn-out, creaking technology of listing and nulling lists. And it's if you don't know how to do this, man, you just haven't been around, and I feel sorry for you. But I'm afraid nobody's going to waste much sympathy on you. There are many liabilities you can get into with listing and nulling lists. And if I hear anybody running a parts of existence list 187 pages, why, we've got a quiet place over at the other end of the estate where a gunshot won't be found, and so watch it. Because this just becomes asinine, man. I mean, some people can take these lists and run their service facts crazy on them. Oh, yeah, that's a fact. I mean, just run fabulous amounts of lists. How long is a list? Well, a list is as long as it has to be nulled. It's got the item on it, and so forth. And I can see now people fighting dirty needles and listing, and I can see now. Well, did they get the service facsimile on J? Did they get the service facsimile yet on J? I'll be saying, well, no, they're still listing. Let's see, when was that? Ah, that was, see, when did they start listing? Let's see the folder. Oh, well, they started listing a month ago. You'd be amazed I've had this happen. So come off of the corn. Come off of the corn. That's just nonsense. A list is as long as it is necessary to be in order to keep the PC from EIRC breaking because it's incomplete. And it's just a list, don't you see? So we get into all that trouble. But that's perfectly all right. We can handle that now. Any nonsense that we see about it, I've already given you what the remedy is. Quiet corner of the estate. Because I frankly am tired of this point of randomity. My lists never go longer than about 8, 9, 10 pages with about 20 items on each page. See, so I don't understand a long list. I don't see any reason for a long list. If your list isn't complete, it won't null, of course, but I've never had to do one longer than that in order to get the thing to null, so I don't understand all this other, unless it is simply safe to keep on listing. So, anyway, you do a list, parts of existence. Now, some of you are you're already rich because sitting right in your PC's folder will be a complete parts of existence list. Probably already been done. parts of existence. Things sometimes even been null. So you do a parts of existence list. And you null it. And I frankly don't care whether it comes out to 1N, 2N, 3N, 4N, something in that range. I don't care. I don't care if it rock slams, rocket reads. I don't care what the resulting item does, just as long as it expresses itself some way on the E-meter. I don't even care if it is right. As long as the PC isn't in argument about it. That's the one thing that is subjected to here. So you do a good workmanlike job of listing. Just try to get yourself a nice list and null it down rapidly and so forth to a point where you've got one item in. That's fine, that's fine. You do that job, bless you. But if it comes out that four were left in and the list probably wasn't complete in the first place and there's a lot of randomity, we'll just do the second step to all four levels left in. You understand? We couldn't care less. It's just as long as the PC isn't saying, but I couldn't possibly. It's because I'm objecting to it, you know? I accidentally put down hoop skirts, and I don't know why I put them down. It doesn't have anything to do with my case at all. It doesn't even answer the question. The auditor said, well, it's what it's in, hoop skirts. Because you're going for a service fact, so all things apply, and basically the individual is very interested in his service fact. Now, the funny part of it is the PCs will only come close to the mountain and they'll go right on up. They can't stop themselves. But there's a funny zone or area before you get close to the mountain, and they sure bounce off of it because they'll dramatize it. They'll only do what is safe. They'll only say what is safe. And they walk very carefully. You won't get anything mixed up in anything like that. They're walking through life on a tightrope, see? And therefore, you may have to do several approaches, and this whole assessment may have to be done several times. So the accuracy of your first do and the ease with which you can do it or the difficulties with which you do it, I don't care about. Do you understand? You probably already got enough in the PC's folder to prep check or run R3SC on for some time. You understand? But I don't even care if you use that, because nobody here is in a tremulous condition, or just drop the bottom out from underneath him with this assessment. Because if he's too bad off, he's not really going to give you the service back, but he'll give his cousin. And that cousin is just as good as anything else. Now, you got a list of parts of existence, haven't you? All right. And you assessed it, didn't you? And you wound up with one, two, three, or four bits in. All right. Dandy, dandy. Now, we tried to wind up with one in. We hoped one would be in. Makes life simpler. And then we take that item that we found, and may we now list safe solutions for it, or safe assumptions about it, or safe decisions that can be made about it. It's what we can clear with the PC. What we really want are safe, what we really want, service facts with regard to it. But that's best expressed by safe solutions, or safe assumptions. And then you make a list there. And once more, this isn't 187 type-packed pages leading out, because that isn't the processing. That's just trying to find something to process. You understand? So the best of your ability, you get yourself a complete list that is nullable, and that's got a significant phrase or item on it, and so forth, and you get that out. Now, that doesn't mean you've got the service fact. The item there is probably, however, either as close as you can get to the service fact at this time, or the service fact. It's one or the other. So we're going to treat it regardless. Now we're going to take this item, we're going to work it over. We're not going to do a represent list on it, we're going to work it over. We're going to get this thing chewed on, the final thing that we found out, see? I don't care what it was, wearing petticoats, I don't care what it is, see? And we're going to chew on this thing until we can get it, till it's a solution to more than that dynamic. We just meanly, we found peanuts on our parts of existence. And the thing to do with peanuts, the safe thing to do with peanuts, was not eat them. That was our item, see? Now, that is the resulting item for the safe solution to peanuts. Not eat them. See? All right. Now, you actually could process this. See, you could prep check it or run R3SC on it. You probably won't be able to prep check it.
It's too close in. It's going to turn on mass. It's going to make things pretty sticky.
But if you talk about this for a while to the PC and ask the PC to phrase this up variously, how might this type of an assumption apply to other dynamics? There's anything else that this would, and the PC will have to give you a variation of it. We're taking the parts of existence list now, and we're trying to see if this solution fits any other parts of existence and how it would have to be rephrased in order to fit other parts of it and peanuts. Get the idea? We're trying to do a subtle adjustment here that throws us into a broader version of our safe assumption, so it applies to more than one dynamic. And if we can do that, why, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. See? We're probably sitting on a much bigger zone or area of the service fact. This is a way of graduating it up, don't you see? But I told you, it's perfectly all right for you to just process it, just what you found, you understand? But you're going to get very smart sooner or later, and you're going to say, well, what do you know? You know, this fellow says, not eat them. Mm-hmm. Not eat them. Not eat them? Let's see. Does that fit to any other part of these dynamics and so forth? Not eat? Yeah, not eat. It fits, yes, actually fits on the first dynamic. Fits on the first dynamic. Fits on the first dynamic and so forth. When I'm processing, I always feel like I'm eating my bank. You see, it's just not eat, you know? Not eat. And, yes. Fourth dynamic, you shouldn't eat men. Fifth dynamic, you sure can't eat mess. That's the best answer to mess is not eat it, you know? And so forth. Well, you've got it away from not eat them. This is your most elementary address to the situation. You see this thing is broader. There was just one little flag sticking up. Just one little piece of a dynamic had this assumption on it. But this assumption doesn't actually handle peanuts. This handles the whole cockeyed sweeping lot. And when you've got one that handles the whole lot, man, you're sitting there with your paws full of service facsimile. And if you haven't got it, you've got to audit what you did get. See? You're going to prep check it. You can't prep check it. You're going to run R3SC, or you're going to run R3SC on it, and you couldn't run that easily, you know, questions didn't come up, then you're going to prep check it. So you're going to handle what you found. And then you're going to do the whole operation again. Only it's going to be a new parts of existence list because, listen, you've prep checked a part of the service fact, so his lookingness is going to change, so he's going to give you a different parts of existence list. See, and then you're going to move in on that, and you're going to get whatever part of existence you now assessed, and then you're going to take that part of existence, and you're going to list that, you know, safe solutions to it, safe assumptions about it, safe solutions to it, whatever it was you could list that gave you things that sounded like service facts. See? You're going to get that list complete, and then you're going to rip down the line, you're going to take one of those out. There it sits. Now you've got a nice thing. And it says, assuming everything will destroy me. Ooh. Boy, you have hit the bottom of the barrel. Safe assumption. If you don't assume that, something might. And of course, eat peanuts, well, that's actually devour. Devour me, destroy me. That's as close as he came into it. So on your second assessment, he just moved in on the center of it, see? Assuming everything is going to eat me up. That was the service facsimile. You just found an offbeat of it, don't you see? You keep working on it. You keep working on it and keep working on the PC until you can't make your meter work. That's when you end. needle gets up toward the middle, and it falls. And the needle, have you seen a needle? It is too difficult to set. You can't get it into the set area because it goes. And you can guess about where the TA should be, but really can't make it very well. Now, that's really a free needle. PC sitting there. PC's not worried about anything. But don't think the PC isn't going to worry at some place along this line, because you're going to hit this point on every one of these things that you found. As you walk in on this, if you're doing any kind of a job of assessment at all, he's going to say, "Oh, I am not so sure." If I get rid of this, no. Now, there's one other thing you must know about this, is you have sometimes processed something on somebody, let us say, well, let's just use eat, an inability to eat. And you've processed this out gorgeously. See? And the PC is still in a horrible state with regard to it. There's one more step you can do with it. After you finished it all up and the PC, the needle got looser and everything, but the PC, oh, I'm not so sure about this. You've just cut the top of it off, see? So now do a safe assumption about the inability to eat. Or a safe assumption about eating. You understand? You didn't get close enough to the service facsimile. You got the idea? Let's say an inability to eat. Well, actually, I gave you a bum datum then. A safe assumption about eating is much more likely to produce the service facsimile. In other words, this is a flip-flop. He not only used eating, but you only caught up to one portion of it. You understand? And you can work your way through this thing. You can get a better statement of what you just got through running and finishing up. And sometimes you can't get that better statement, at which time, of course, you made it with the first statement. I'm just talking about the adjustments of the assessment. See? You sometimes will get something like an inability to eat. That's a service fact. And it ran. He made people guilty with it. And people wrong and himself right, and it all ran out, and prep checked, and everything gotten better, but you notice the tone arm's still hanging awful, still toward the end of this thing. It ran well for a long time, and still at the end of this thing. The PC feels kind of... You say, how do you feel about now the inability to eat? Well, I don't know. There isn't anything for me in it to eat, and so on. Well, you flattened everything you could flatten out of the thing, don't you? Well, you better assume that you came close in on the mountain, and you'd better do a safe assumption about the subject of what you found before. That's the rule. There's some safe assumption with regard to eating that the person could make. You're sort of doing a safe assumption list on the safe assumption, don't you see? Represent. And you get closer into it, and that tears up a lot more ground. Got it? That last one may have confused you. I couldn't care less, because I am not at any moment saying that you must not exercise the highest level of genius in doing this. Look for identification. Look for identifications. That is to say, A equals A equals A. You're doing this prep check. You're doing this prep check on dolls. For some reason or other, children's dolls. And in this lifetime and so on, dolls. And they say, all dolls are cheap. Or, dolls are always given away. Just watch for it. This is a totally unreasonable assumption, don't you see? If you don't watch dolls, they're liable to attack you. Oh, yes? Completely unreasonable assumption. Draw a little box around it in your auditor's reports. Because you've hit an A equals A computation that leads in toward a service fact, don't you think? Completely unreasonable assumption. You know why the person's having a bad time in this particular zone. He's just said so. Doesn't resolve, but the person just said so. You'll find out that's a cousin to the service facsimile, or dead on it. See? And you keep fooling around, and all of a sudden, well, the PC will come up with it, and you'll come up with it, and you'll come up with it, and the PC will come up with it, and all hell break loose, see? Confusion starts running off and knocking the PC's head off, and the PC can't sleep at night and has to have the light on until you get back and process it again. But that's all expected randomity. This is what's keeping everything in restimulation for the PC, and in taking it out, you get a certain amount of restimulation going. But there's the way you find it, and the formula I gave you of do a parts of existence list and then do a list of safe assumptions or solutions for the item found, and then using that as a service facsimile directly, you will find, most of the service facsimiles, or if it doesn't the first time you do it, we'll find the next time you do it. You see? Because you can move in on it, or maybe the third time you do it. So you can do this on a crude basis. You understand? Now that, there'll probably be other methods of doing this release, there'll probably be other material developed on this, but let me invite your own lookingness on this subject and not at any time get over the idea that a certain amount of genius must be invested in it. Okay? Thank you very much.